I told her to be careful, you know, do this diet thing and what, yada, yada, yada. So we started home, and she says, I'm hungry. So we hit Bob Evans, and she did the sampler sausage and I don't know what all, you know, and got home, went shopping. So I'm glad you all have agreed to move this down a week. So here we are. But that, and of course, they said, go to your family doctor. We got to Indiana. The doctor looked at her and said, that can't happen. And, so she says, I need to look at this myself. So they've scheduled her for some more blank test tomorrow morning. And I can't get from here to there in time to make it. So I didn't want to crowd this service. And I said, you just stay here. We'll just go have church, and you have another miracle. Just baptize the doctor while you're at it. They need it. So there's nothing like serving God. And I went through about, and it was a one-day thing that nobody seemed to figure out. And I got a cousin who was up in Minnesota, contracted this sepsis. Same thing happened to him. 12 hours later, it had evaporated into nothing. He's headed back to his house in Louisiana. So I said, well, devil, looks like you need another lesson in the power of God. And so, okay, let me get this commercial here out of the way. My wife is a singer, and we recorded her live in our studio in Jerusalem some months back, and these are songs that some of our saints wrote in Hebrew and English. Others are songs that they translated into Hebrew. And so this is her singing live there in Jerusalem in the language of Jesus and English. This is book called The Word Was Made Flesh. It's obviously John 1:14, and I detail in here how that when you become a child of God, you take on his DNA, and that's where your eternal life is. And I was answering a question, and so it came out to be the history of the origin of the Trinity. And I did the study. And living in Israel, I had options to go to all kinds of places and meet different kinds of people. So it's a major resource, very interesting book that traces the Trinitarian concept from the first ever recorded Sumerians in 3000 BCE. So Trinitarianism been around for 5,000 years. And in all probabilities, Abraham was a Trinitarian before he met God. And then if you want to know where how we work these dates, this is the book on the dates. I date from, it's a standard common threshold date of 966 BCE. It was in the spring of the year Solomon started to build the temple. And then using internal scripture, run it backwards all the way to Adam, who comes on the scene dated at 4,112 BCE. Then I turned around and ran all the way through the Old Testament back and through into the New. Jesus was born, according to these figures, in October or on October the 1st in 5 BCE. It's in the dates. And Moses in 1440 BCE listed 7 feasts that are a part of the Jewish worship. Of those 7 feasts, Jesus fulfilled 5 of them on the feast day. And then ultimately, I go into all of the detail. If you don't like detail, skip a couple of chapters, but you need the detail if you're going to factor in Gregorian calendar and a lunar calendar. It's complicated right by the book. Then this was the Bible study that we use in Israel. One of my jobs was an engineering consultant, and walked in the guy's store or shop, and he had a sign up on the wall, you know, what's the most important leg on any three-legged stool? And everybody ponders that, and great wisdom comes out of it. And then at the bottom, in very small print, he says, the one that's missing. So we break down the water the repentance, the water baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with tongues, as a single support of your salvation plan. And then what does each one of those do in a by itself standalone position? So that's, and you can, you have people that maybe only have one question about one part of it. And you can just take that chapter and just work that over. And you can make copies of all these. And in addition to that, I was talking last time I talked to Bob Trapani, Brother Trapani. We were talking, I told him I was going to write a commentary, and I wanted him to write one volume on the apostolic psychology. But he has died and left no forwarding address, so we're out of luck on that. But I have six volumes I'm writing. This is the first one. It's finished. This completely contains a scientific approach to biblical creation according to the book of Genesis and according to the book of Job. There, in the Bible, King James, there are two recorded events of creation, and Job in the book of Genesis. And when you put it together and use an old earth Big Bang theory, 13.6 billion year ago beginning of the universe, the book of Genesis aligns perfectly like it was written from that script. And I go through the entire Old Testament from 13.6 billion years ago all the way to the end of the Old Testament, or at least into the temple periods. Then when the temple, first temple, 586 BCE, on the ninth day of the month of Av, was destroyed by the Babylonians, I begin there with this second one, and it goes all the way through to the end, to the birth of Jesus in October the 1st, 5 BCE, and to his death on that Passover weekend on 21 of April of 29 AD. So we have those. I'm right now working on the book of Acts, and I'm plugging in Paul's epistles into the book of Acts commentary in real time. Like, he was in Ephesus and wrote to Corinthians, so Corinthians comes after Ephesus. And it's quite a challenge, but I'm on chapter 24 right now, so we're getting there. If we could bring that video up, this is our guys over there made this video, and so enjoy it. It's got sound.
Ah. When a person visits Israel, they are captivated by its beauty. They're moved by its history.
The Lord is faithful.
Its impact on them is indescribable. But a person with a calling is moved by different sights.
The Lord is faithful.
Sights that frighten most.
What he has promised.
Sights seen as deplorable. person visits Israel, they are captivated by its beauty. They're moved by its history. Its impact on them is indescribable. But a person with a calling is moved by different sights. Sights that frighten most. Sights seen as deplorable. One such person was Robert Lester McFarland. In 1959, he brought his family to pursue the call. His eldest son, Robert Lee, was impacted beyond measure. He married Elizabeth Bush, and this is their story.
Well, I came here in 1959 as a 13-year-old, obviously teenager, and the first time I saw this vast array here was all fields. They were planting grain in these fields. I have ridden virtually every one of these streets over here in this city on a bicycle, and some of the alleys, a lot of the places around here. Ridden buses all up and down here. We used to drive an hour plus from here to Bethlehem service every Sunday and back. Then some 30 odd years later, my wife and I returned to the country as representatives to try to set up a work here. And slowly it began to build, it got some traction, and began to work in houses. The various houses that we worked in, we would get several people ready to baptize. Then we would take them in a van all the way to the Jordan River and baptize everybody all at once. And ultimately now, some 20 plus years later, there are about 10 churches in existence, each with their own pastor, each with their own facility, and they're all sovereign within themselves. And most of them have completed a degree in our current ongoing Bible school. So we have virtually everything we need here now to continue this revival, and that's why we're bringing these young guys on to spread this out, do work where I can't go and can't be, since I can only be at one place at any given time. That way, the Lord will amplify the revival.
The McFarlands impacted many people over three decades. People who are still impacted today. Beth felt a call to the mission field as a young child.
When we came in 1997, it was seemed impossible to do the job that God had called us to do, but we had a call burning in our soul, and that never leaves. You still feel that through the years. Suffered some setbacks from time to time, as anyone does, have seen great revival and amazing things in all sectors of this population, of this city and this country. And we've watched God over and over and over again show himself strong. When we felt so weak, we could not walk another step. We felt your prayers lifting us up. And today we face some of the same pressure and opposition that the early church faced, but God has been so faithful. He has given us more than we can even imagine, but yet we still have vision for so much more. We are so thankful for the team that God has put in place to work here in this country, for His vision and what He wants for us and the revival that we are going to see. We give God glory and honor and praise. It is really, and we are humbled to be able to work in this vineyard. So thankful for every person, every church that has helped us, that has given to us. We still need your help. The task is great, but God is moving in ways that we have not been able to publicize like others can publicize. We have had to be very circumspect in what we say as we've labored in this nation. Thank God today there are visas for those that are working here now. They can be more open. We are giving God the glory for everything He's done all through this past 20 some years. He has blessed, He has moved, He's still moving.
You can help. Help reach the dry land. Help see people born again. Help reach the unreached cities.
Looking around here at all of these people that are paying for resurrection, but the scripture already says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I'm so glad that I can meet Him on a bended knee and not have to lay in the ground here and wait on resurrection. Here we go. The college that we referenced there is called the International Biblical College. It's registered as a secular liberal arts college in Jerusalem out of the Ministry of Education. And we first thing we did was opened our theology wing and began teaching. And the beauty of it is that it has now been totally, completely converted to electronic format. And everybody in this room can get a college degree, Bachelor of Biblical Studies, from that college if you've got internet. And so, and I don't want to be competing against regular endorsed schools, but just remind you that there's only one school gives a Jerusalem diploma. So that's what we've got there. We started, obviously, she said, in 1997. And again, I lived there in 1959, 16, 61. So I ran the streets as a teenager with all my teenage buddies. And I picked up what they call street Palestinian Arabic. And it's a language that cannot be written. It's just, and they say I'm the last true Palestinian left, so, because I still speak the original dialect. And so if you look at the picture, people ask me, they say, well, do you speak fluent Hebrew? I said, nobody speaks fluent Hebrew. There are 85 languages spoken just in Jerusalem. In every service, we'll have a smattering of at least five languages sitting. And we go in English, and every so often, when I'm speaking, I'll see this deer in the headlight look, and I'll stop and say, wait a minute, Ellie, I need that language. I need to translate that for me in Arabic. And then I translate it, give it to me in Tagalog. Sonia, give it to me in Hebrew. And Theodore, we need that in Russian. Now, does everybody know that word we're all talking about? And then we're ready to go on. So it's quite a unique place. But I want to just summarize the thing. When we have new converts, we have approximately 90% of all of our new converts receive the Holy Ghost experience the first time they're ever in the service. And that is completely by plan and structure. Those same people win a new one in less than a year. And we have a retention rate of about 90%. So in addition to that, we have, I said, it's not like fill up the church. A church is like a pipeline. And we just crank and teach and crank and teach and crank and teach. And when somebody falls in, wherever they are at that point, we just pick them up and churn with them and teach with them and build with them. And then when they leave and go on, they take what they've learned and go on down the road. So consequently, from the Jerusalem church, we now have representatives that have churches in the Philippines, all over the Philippines, in Taiwan, in Canada, and in several places in South America, of the people that have come through the Jerusalem church and found salvation and went on. So it's kind of like the book of Acts all over again. And that's the whole plan that we do there. So we could probably count over 1,000 people baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. And many of them are not able to step out. And so we just have church whenever we can and wherever we can and let God fill in all the other spaces around there. And so the building that we have is about 60 feet square. It's in the middle of Jerusalem. It has three towers. And this is the 12th floor of a 13-floor building. And the windows are completely down both sides of it. And you can look out for 30 miles north and south all the time you're up there. And so we say, to God be the glory. He has done great things. I'm not going to get into telling you scary stories and all that. Apparently, I'm not quite put together just right because I'm not scared. So I look at, very simply, I look at a enemy injection into a situation. Doesn't matter if it's sickness, illness, bombs, rockets, governments. None of that matters. All that, if you look at it as what can it do to me, your heart will be filled with fear. But turn around and look at it now. What can I do with this? And the Lord has to have an issue to perform a miracle. So if we pray our sterile prayer and nothing ever happens to us, we will experience no miraculous relief. But the devil apparently has not learned much that God is batting 1,000. The devil's lost every time. So whenever something happens, I look at it, hey, God is doing something. And I get to be a part of it. And so, as a result, it's some great things going on. And then, of course, I'm going to be retiring in in August of this year. And so these young couples that are over there, and there's a guy over there right now that's just a walking miracle. So all of these things are a part of the kingdom going forward. And they are teaching. We use the idea that teaching is the answer. You know, years ago we started that, and we've just stayed with it. And then I started writing a lot of the curriculum, and then everybody, what would happen, we'd have a you know, whatever this is here, let me see right quick, a 27-page stapled together thing laying there, and that would be our study for that particular thing. And a tour group comes in, 40 people. Every one of them want a copy. So we got to stop everything, go get every copy machine we got, and start cranking these things out, staple them all together, give them to these people. And finally I said, you know what? Let's just print the things out. I'm now a publishing company. So put it all together, put ISBNs on it, and there it is. It's available now. So, and we're going to get some more going. I have two questions. Number one, anybody ready to leave now? Question number two, what time are you going to be ready to leave? I'm 73, not done yet. I do feel I have a word from the Lord here. Listening to your worship in the first part of the service, let me try to do this fast. I only preach about 5 minutes. That's, you know, my voice won't take it, but about 5 minutes is all I'm good for. However, it takes me a half hour to get there. So, I don't know if you guys got access to internet and Aramaic Bible by any chance. I didn't bring mine. And so I'm doing this off the top of my head. And if anybody wants to challenge it, well, we're going to have to get an Aramaic Bible and work on it. But in the Aramaic Bible, the John 1:1 version starts off in English, King James English. It says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, in English, we take the word "word" to be breaking silence or verbal articulation for all you academics. And we try to put that all of God's creation, because Moses said, and God said, and we presume, and if he spoke, you know, if he happened to speak Hebrew, in verse number 3 of Genesis 1, God said, "Let there be light." That's the secondary story of a real-time event that happened long before Moses ever, I mean, had any access to it. So, and if God spoke Hebrew, he would have just used one word, which is "or," and initiated creation. But the study of Aristotle teaches that Aristotle said communication has to come in three forms. It has to come with passion or pathos. It has to come with emotion or ethos. Or it has to come with logic or logos. Now, when the Greeks wrote that original copy from which the King James is translated into, or from, they just threw the logos part in there, the logic part. They did not touch on the passion and the emotion. And so in Greek, there are some limitations. In English, there are, even, believe it or not, with a million word vocabulary, we do have limitations. Biblical Hebrew has 4,500 words in the study. Aramaic is actually, the Aramaic Bible is been discovered to have been written at least 150 years prior to the Greek versions that we use to come up with the Trinitarian King James versions. Hello? So, in all of these things, we need to try to get the meaning of what was said there. And so, in some languages, you can't translate it. I remember it was in Greece having a meeting of some sort, and had an old redneck pastor, and he was just snorting and stomping back and forth across it. Just getting, and this poor kid, this Greek kid's running around behind him trying to translate, and he gets over to sign, and he goes, "Wow, about to get on my shouting shoes." Of course, everybody knows what he's talking about, except this Greek kid. And he rattled off something, and when he did, everybody in the place just busted out laughing, fell on the floor, and just went, tore everything up. So I asked the kid, I said, "What happened?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "Shouting shoes." So I just figured, "Screaming boots." So there are some idiosyncrasies in one language that you just can't get there. And so the Aramaic script starts off, remember, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Aramaic starts off, and they don't even translate it. You just have to know what it means and figure it out, because it says, in the beginning was the Miltha. The Miltha was with Elohim, and the Miltha was Elohim. Now, I've often thought, that is the craziest mess I've ever heard. The Elohim part is Hebrew. The Miltha part is Aramaic. And in the beginning is English. Now, how in the world can you comprehend this stuff? And so I studied into it. And come to find out that Miltha is, in fact, virtually non-translatable. You have to write a half a page to get the meaning. And it basically goes like this. If you're going to water, let's say a fire. One of my jobs, I was a fireman one time. So we're going to put out a fire. So you drive up in the truck and you grab the hose. And you fire up the generator and fire up the engine and open the hose. And the water comes out of the hose. Now, remember this. It's as round as the hose. It goes all the way across to wherever you want to shoot it on the flame. It retains all of the configuration and all of the size of the original source, right? But then when it hits the fire, it reconfigs. And all you science young people know that the water doesn't put the fire out. The water cools so the heat can't keep running it, and then it spreads out and blocks the incoming flow of oxygen so that the fire literally starves because of the water. But if the water never reconfigured, you'd never get the fire out, because you'd have that inch and a half stream coming in there, right? So with that in mind, let's see what that scripture says. In the beginning was the Miltha, the complete source and shape of God. It was with him. It was him. And now let's jump to 14. And the Miltha was made flesh and dwelt among us. God, in his original configuration and original source, reconfigured into a body. Just to be able to communicate with us. And while we're on that subject, I mean, the rest of that verse, which I don't know if you can get King James, John 1:14, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Now, in Aramaic, or in English, we beheld his glory, and the glory. Greek, it uses the same word. Aramaic, the first glory is masculine, the second glory is feminine. The word Elohim is plural. So God is both male and female. And the reason for that is, in order to create life, you need a male and a female. So God doesn't need somebody else to create anything. He's got it both, genderization internally. We doing okay here? Where's a clock? Oh, I'll make sure I'm not here tomorrow. But when you break that down, Jesus was fathered by the Milpha of Genesis 1:3, reconfigured into a feminine womb. So when we beheld the masculine glory of the Father, he walks on water, he touches people and they're healed, he speaks and elements obey him. And then we see him in his feminine mother human side. He gets hungry. He gets tired. He probably had a bad day every now and then. And we saw that glory. And it was in one person. One configuration that is unique, different to all the world. Doing okay? So when one of the things that made him different and so unique was this masculine glory, spoken word, Milpha of creation, is that, I don't want to get too deep here. I'm looking at my congregation. Let me say it this way. If, and I love science, well, an unknown source from an unknown place hit a standing hydrogen gas cloud tower. It collapsed on itself with such velocity that it vaporized the molecular structure and exploded. With all of you chemistry people, this is fusion, not fission. The fusion fired the entire molecular structure into a gas out into space. Now, the temperature of space was 460 degrees below zero. The temperature of that ignition was 10 trillion degrees. A little disparity. But it took some 500 million years of flying through this 400 negative degree space to cool that enough that it actually started to form back into the molecular structure. Matter can either be created or destroyed. So there it was. The problem was not the nucleus and electron circular force. condensed at the same speed and the same time. So the one nucleus that did get condensed, it began to gather electron, and it had some more free ones floating around with no nucleus. So it grabbed them too. And all you chemistry people, it came up with H4. What's that? Somebody say helium. We are in a helium universe here in our planetary system. Our entire sun's made of helium and generates the heat and the life and the system, the magnetic pull that keeps our entire solar system together. What happened to the other three leftover nucleus that didn't have any way to keep in balance? They burned out and fragmented out into space. Hang on to that. We'll get back to that one. But in looking at this, we see that the God that spoke that all into existence is the same God that tiptoed through the devil's outer perimeter of security and intelligence and landed down next to a girl sitting by a well in Nazareth and said, "That which is conceived in you is of the Holy Ghost." Your Aramaic Bible says of the Miltha. As a result, we then start to put this together. The blood type of Jesus was the same as the original blood type of Adam. But when Adam sinned, and like an aftermarket add-on, he got a death genome floating around in there. And that was the contractual evidence that the bodies, which are Adamic, belong to the contractee, the devil. And so there must be a lab in hell somewhere. And everybody that died, some technician draws a sample and makes sure, yeah, this is a death genome. This dude belongs here. We won him back there in the garden. And all of a sudden, you know, they hang Jesus on the cross. And I know I'm going fast here, so just listen fast. They hang Jesus on the cross, and he dies. Goes to the lab. Houston, we have a problem. We got a guy in here that's not a part of the contract. We have breached the contract, which means now everybody all the way back to the garden and all the way to Armageddon have been set free. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Ho, ho. We doing okay? Anybody ready to leave? Okay. Well, when you pool this all together and we see the glory of the Father, the Spirit, and then the glory of what's the feminine part, the physical part of Him, and you put it together, it's the freedom from the Adamic contract. So when you come to an altar and you start to feel the presence of God on you, let me tell you what, it is more than just good fancy preaching. It's more than just something that you like the way this guy wiggles when he preaches. You know, and I got to be careful. I got a chrome hip in here. I don't want to throw it out here. But where are we at here? And the word was, okay, let's go with the Old Testament. That's good enough. Thank you very much. How about Genesis 2 and 7? And while he's getting there, it'll say, and the word was, or he say, and the Lord God made or framed man from the dust of the earth, male and female, created him them, he them, breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, man became a living soul. Now, in Hebrew, the word for dust is different than the word for dirt or earth. And when you study, dust is not native to this planet. It falls here from, called solar dust, falls on the earth from space at a rate of like 60,000 tons a day. And so when God decided that the devil with his five I wills would be cast from his position of praise in the celestial bodies and decided he was going to replace him. Now you can, I'm going quick now, so hang on. You get a bunch of scripture that says he was the most perfect creation. He was the covering cherub. All of these things that describes about him. And you begin to look at this and you begin to wonder why specifically God chose, and I'm going to use this term carefully, space waste to make humanity. Well, I'm glad you asked. I got an answer. It's my feeling that when you get in the presence of God and begin to feel the Spirit of God, something energizes inside of you. Because I believe the molecular structure of the human body, of the dust molecules, are the same molecules that were in the hydrogen gas tower 13.6 billion years ago that heard the voice of God spark creation into existence. And then when you bring your space waste to an altar, and you start getting involved in the presence of God, your body goes back to the resident voice that these structures heard before there was even an earth for us to be filled in them. We doing okay? So, if we can understand that God, in his infinite wisdom, designed a devil replacement, and his good name is the Son of the Morning, replacement. And the Lord, when he was cast from heaven onto the earth, did not want to use any of the devil's properties. So he used the filtration of space waste and let it be used long enough for us to take a male God spirit and fill a body born of a woman and walk around with the milfa in our mouth. It's okay? Whew, goodness, I got to quit here. Let me Let me give you one more thing here. This won't hurt if I get down here, will it? My trifocals are lying to me about that. I wish I had these things when I had doing construction. These will move concrete. But in these old languages, everything is genderized. This is called a shulchan, a desk, and it's feminine. I don't know why, but it is. Pictures, you got pictures around. They're male. So when we look at how this is genderized, and we take the word in English and Greek, and we step back into spirit, because God can work without voice English articulation. Because going back to the first one, God actually spoke hydrogen. A few years later, in Nazareth, he spoke ovarian. I'll use that language. God knows every language of every entity in the universe. Now, if you've got, I think it's in Philippians somewhere. Anybody got a King James? You guys would look them up. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord in heaven and in earth. Everything in heaven, everything under in the earth, and everything under the earth. Okay? If you look in your King James, that is, part of that is italicized. Now, the code is that was not in the original. So it literally reads, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, in earth, under the earth. So it's a very simple mathematical equation. God needs a dual nature somebody born of a God spirit into a body born of a woman that can put the name of Jesus, which was the name of that Milfa, on anything. I feel the Holy Ghost just dropped in here right there. That means if somebody's got cancer, it scares us to death. Unless you're walking around with the God of creation, which was and is to be, is inside of you, and he wants to articulate out of you and says, cancer, leave that person. And your Bible says that that cancer has to bow its knee and say, okay, Jesus is master. Where do I go? If you got financial trouble, you got family trouble, you got wayward kids, if it's in the universe, you got a word over it. And if you've got a word over it, and you speak that word, your Bible says its knee is going to bow. Whether it's in heaven, whether it's in the earth, or whether it's under the earth. That literally, I could go on for another hour, but I'm not. But that means that the devils are under the earth, their knee is going to bow. Yeah. If a devil's bothering you, say, dude, listen. In the authority of the name of Jesus. Yes, sir. And your Bible says the devil has to, okay, that one I got to bow down and say he's Lord. And then he has to ask the Lord. Why? Because we have the concept on the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee when Jesus cast out the devils, they said, where can we go? He said, go get in the pigs. And then it doesn't say this, but this is where I fill in, you know. And the pigs had enough sense to know that when the devil got in them, they tried to get baptized. But, you know, the Holy Ghost is very dynamic in here right now. And I don't know what's going on here, you know, and I'm leaving in the morning. You can fix all this when I'm gone. But I feel that there are some people in this room right here that need to step up, quit letting the devil push you around, quit letting the devil scare you, quit letting the devil do anything in your life. Just basically get in his face and throw a Jesus word on him. A Jesus Milfa, and let it reconfig to a cancer, to a hydrogen tower, to a wayward kid, to a druggie that all of a sudden just walks out of it and gets free from it. And the example is Genesis 1:3. God did not utter a whole sentence. He put one word in that hydrogen gas tower and took total chaos and put it in perfect balance for 13 billion years with one word. And he put that same dynamic word in every one of us that's been filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, come on, let's give him some praise right here. There's a Holy Ghost move in this place. Take some authority right now. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. My God, take dominion right now. Give deliverance right now. Raise your name and your power. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Here you go, man.
Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you got a need in your body right now, you need to come and just speak a word in the name of Jesus right now. God will heal you. If you got a need in your job, in your financial situation, you need to come to this altar and speak the word of God into existence right now. Come on, let's react right now in the name of Jesus. Let's bring this word to our need right now and just trust God to minister to our need right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you musicians have a need, you stop what you're doing and you come and you pray that word right now in the name of Jesus. Let's lift up a praise in this place. Let's lift up a shout unto God in this place for what you're facing right now, your job situation, your family need, your life situation right now, the need in your mind right now. Come on, the Holy Ghost is going to do a mighty work in this place. Somebody's going to be delivered today. Somebody's going to be set free from what's been dragging you backwards and not allowing you to move in the Holy Ghost. Come on, that fear in your life has got to go in the name of Jesus. A deliverance can happen in your spirit right now. Just speak that word out right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I'm going to speak a word of faith and we're going to see the power of the Holy Ghost move in this place. By the authority of the name of Jesus, I speak into this place power by your name in Jesus' name right now. Set people free, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, minister in the life right now, God. Healing in their body. Oh, Lord Jesus, open up a supernatural authority in their mind, Lord God, to overcome the fear, Lord, that they've been facing, to reach out to and minister in their life, Lord God. Oh, right now, Lord God. Lord, there's healing that needs to happen in people's bodies right now, God. I speak the word of Jesus up to that situation. In the name of Jesus, your healing virtue, God. The In the name of Jesus, God, my job situation is in your hands, God. Oh, come on, speak it out. Speak that need out. And you have faith and believe that God can use you right now and lay it on hands. Why don't you begin to walk around it? Especially your ministry, to lay hands on people. In the name of Jesus, take authority in their life. In the name of Jesus.
As we bless your holy name.
Hallelujah.
You deserve the glory.
God, I'm trusting you right now, Lord.
Lord, we lift our hands in the name of Jesus. As we bless your holy name, you deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship. As we bless your holy name, you are great. You do miracles so your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands. Oh, we bless your holy name. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no
God's moving right now. He's ministering in lives. We're getting ready to prepare for our baptism, Sister Kim. Amen. So excited about that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, brother, for that wonderful word of God. Amen. God has set us free here today. Amen. Some of us are going to walk out of here without fear. Going to walk out here with authority in speaking into your life and your situation. The Holy Ghost has ministered to you and touched you. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to take some time to go out there and get a hold of some of that material. Amen. That'll bless you. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just lift our voices again.